We return tonight to our series in Psalm 119, and as we come to the Word of God tonight, if you would turn with me to verses 129 through to verse 136. Psalm 119, verses 129 through to verse 136. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his precious and holy and infallible word. Well, tonight we come to verse 132. Verse 132. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Dear congregation, in a special way the Lord shows favour and mercy to his people. If you turn to Psalm 106, verse 4, the psalmist said, Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. And it's clear there that the special favour of the Lord, or the favour of the Lord which is seen as special, is towards his people. Now favour and mercy we find. However, let us make our plea in light of our text tonight. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. We know that the Lord shows great mercy towards his people. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. We know these things, but let us still, earnestly and humbly, make our plea. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me. We make our plea, therefore we turn to the Lord. We stretch out our hands, praying for favour, and looking for mercy. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me. Well, let's come directly to these words now. And I'd like us to consider, first of all, the need. Secondly, the humble plea. Thirdly, the look. And fourthly, the hand. The need, the humble plea, the look, and the hand. Look thou upon me. The psalmist was earnest. He prayed to the Lord for favour and mercy because he was in need. So let's consider this first of all tonight. The need. Look thou upon me. He needed the Lord's grace or favour. He needed the Lord's mercy. First of all, because of the wound of sin. Now you remember the Good Samaritan. He saw that man who was left half dead. He looked upon him. And he had great compassion and helped him and did him good. And we're reminded there of the Lord Jesus Christ, who looks upon a poor sinner in the time of love and draws near. The Lord sees the wounds of sin. Oh, there is the gracious look of the Lord. Well, we have known the Lord's favour. By grace we have been saved. Our sins have been forgiven. But we weren't made perfect, were we? And there is the wound of sin, which so often strikes us. Oh, how we need the Lord's favour. Look thou upon me, first of all, because of the wound of sin. He pleads for God's favourable look. He desires the smile of God's face and the hand of mercy. And what's one of the reasons? Well, firstly, it is because he feels his sin. Just come with me to verse 131. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed after for thy commandments. Yes, they were his enemies. And he longed to do that which is right in the midst of his enemies. But also he felt his sin. Oh, how he longed to do right, because he mourned over his failings. He feels his failings. He feels his sin. Look thou upon me. He's praying for favour and for mercy. There are times when we feel convicted, how we have failed the Lord. We go astray at times, as a lost wandering sheep. We'll consider this at the end of the psalm. Lord, when we get there, in verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. We wander from the Lord we love. We fail him. Sometimes we go on straying, but then there comes the conviction. And there is the pain of that conviction. And we feel our sin. Let me illustrate this. Sometimes you may use a spanner to undo a nut, and the spanner slips, and you hurt your knuckles on a piece of metal. They begin to bleed, but to begin with, you don't notice it too much, but a little later, then you feel the pain even more. When I went to college down in Kent, they taught us how to graft. That is, you take a piece of one plant and you put it on another. Well, in grafting, you needed a very sharp knife. And so we used to spend time sharpening the knife. We used to use this sharpening oil on the stone, and we would sharpen the knife. And then we would have an attempt at grafting. And sometimes the knife would slip when we were trying to learn. And you felt it a little bit, but it came in later, the pain. It went numb to begin with. But then the pain comes. Sometimes when we're straying, there is that numbness. But then the pain comes a little later. And we feel convicted. There's that pricking in the heart. Turn with me to Psalm 32, verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. He felt God's hand upon him. The hand of God down upon him. We're thankful for the hand of God that supports us and comforts us, but sometimes there is the hand of God down upon us, and we feel convicted. And the conviction grows till we confess and acknowledge our sin. It's not pleasant, is it, when we feel convicted, when we suddenly realize we've done something wrong, said something wrong, thought something wrong, and we're aware of God that we've offended him. It's not a pleasant thing, is it? However, it's part of the restoring process. You know those words in Psalm 23, he restoreth my soul. We can consider when we're weak and weary, how the shepherd comes along and he restores. But there are times when we backslide, and so he goes after us to restore our soul. And part of that restoring work is that through his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he will convict of sin. It's not pleasant. However, it can be used even to aid our assurance. We are the Lord's. The unconverted don't truly get convicted. Yes, at times they feel they've done wrong. But when we think of this conviction before the Lord, I failed the Lord. We see it in Psalm 51. Against thee, the only, have I sinned. The true believer will feel convicted and turn to the Lord for mercy, as the psalmist did. And that in turn can be an aid to assurance. It's not a pleasant thing, is it? Let me illustrate this. Those of us who had godly parents who told us off. It wasn't a pleasant thing, but we knew, or a little later we knew, that they loved us. And when we feel the convicting hand of the Lord, the word comes home, oh, remember that the Lord loves you. For the psalmist, he was convicted. And he turns to the Lord, look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Psalm 51 verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Oh, we look to the Lord then, that he would have mercy upon us, that he would favour us, that he, as a heavenly Father, would forgive our sin. Look thou upon me. Now just note those words again. God sees us all the time. He knows everything we do. He knows when we stray. He knows our sins. He knows it all. But here's the psalmist. He's praying for grace, isn't he? Look upon me. Look thou upon me. Thou dost know, but look favourably upon me. And in thy mercy, forgive my sin. So that's one of the reasons the psalmist prays here, look thou upon me. But then secondly, because of the plotting enemy. As we have seen in the psalm, the psalmist had his enemies. There were times when he had to flee, like so many are fleeing from Afghanistan at this present time. Having to quickly depart, the psalmist knew what that was like. He was conscious of those that were plotting against him. Look thou on me and be merciful unto me. Coming me to verse 134. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Look thou upon me, verse 133. Order my steps, verse 134. Deliver me from the oppression of man. Oh, do not we pray to the Lord, look thou on me. I have my enemies. There is the evil one, and there are those that hate Christ, and therefore they hate me. Look thou on me, and have mercy. Psalm 56, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou Most High, be merciful. There were his enemies who would swallow him up. They would have him gone. Lord, be merciful. Look thou on me. Be a shield to me. Be a fortress to me. Be that refuge to me. So that's another reason he makes this plea. Look thou upon me. Thirdly, The heavy affliction. We've seen this throughout the psalm, have we not? Turn with me to verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. And then back in verse 28 of the psalm. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. What a heavy heart he had. He knew what it was to struggle in affliction. And so do we. So we make our plea. Lord, look thou on me. Yes, thou art observing so many, but remember me, Lord. Look favourably on me. Or we could say, look in kindness upon me. Remember the situation before me. Remember my heavy heart that I know. Remember the struggles. Some struggle with sickness. Some struggle with a heavy burden. Others struggle in other difficulties. One can be weak and weary. Look thou on me. Be favourable to me. And in thy favour come and help me. Stretch out thy hand and support me in that merciful way. Look on me. Well, let's move on now and consider secondly the humble plea. The humble plea. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usedst to do unto those that love thy name. Now we've considered the need for this plea, but let's just pause and consider it is the humble plea. He was aware of the greatness of God, that God is so holy and hates sin, he feels also his own smallness. So he comes humbly to the Lord. He's aware that the Lord sees everything. He humbly prays, look thou on me. Remember Abraham in Genesis 18, verse 27. Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am, referring to himself, but dust and ashes. You see there the humility in Abraham's prayer. We've all seen those pictures, haven't we? I believe there's a picture in my mother-in-law's house of a little girl with her hands together, knelt beside her bed, making her little prayer. Oh, that we would be like children, on our knees, humbly beseeching the face of our great God. Who are we? We are but dust and ashes. But we come to the Lord. We do so in humility. We're so small, we come humbly. But then do not we come amazed at the grace of God? And that makes us humble, doesn't it? We consider our smallness. Who are we? So small. But then the amazing grace of God that we can pray. A few months ago I mentioned in a sermon, I can't remember which sermon, it is of God's grace that we can pray. And we find grace at the beginning of prayer. Oh, that we would think of that. That it's only because of God's grace that we can begin to pray. Oh, to think more of the grace of God. Oh, to stand amazed at the grace of God. We humbly make our plea then. Who are we? Remember David? In 2 Samuel 7 verse 18 we read this. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Who am I? What is my house? Unknown to many, small in comparison to others. Oh, he considers the grace of God that thou hast brought me hitherto. And you consider the way the Lord has kept you and preserved you. It's all of grace, isn't it? Thou hast brought me hitherto. We say with David, Who am I? Who are we? Why such love? One of old wrote, Why to me, to you? We're thankful for it now, aren't we? But there are times when we say, Why such love? Why such favour? Oh, to be amazed at the grace of God. Therefore, we will then make our humble plea in doing so. He considers how God has been favourable to him and shown mercy towards him. He makes his humble plea. But then notice, as he makes this humble plea, he's mindful of the past. Do you notice that here in verse 132? Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Now the psalmist here remembers the past, and in doing so, he pleads the credibility of his own love. I do love thee as those in the past did. Oh, show mercy. He considers how God had been favourable to his people in times past. Remember the second commandment in Exodus 20. Showing mercy, we read of there. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20 and we come to the second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments, unto thousands that love me. How the psalmist knew the word of God, how he was well acquainted with the commandments, and the second commandment there. And he looks back, mercy shown to thousands that love the Lord, where he pleads in view of that. He humbly pleads, Look thou upon me. Consider the mercy that was shown to Abraham, to Isaac, and to the children of Israel, how they were delivered from Egypt. Oh, show us mercy. Mercy shown to our forefathers. Show us mercy. Oh, thou show us mercy to them that love thee. O Lord, show me mercy. That we read in Psalm 106, verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Remember me, Lord. Thou art a God who shows favour to thy people. Remember me. Bring the word of God to the Lord. Bring that commandment, the second commandment. Thou shalt not have any other graven images before me. And thou dost show, O Lord, mercy to thousands that love thee. I bring that to thee. I humbly bring those promises to thee and thy word to thee as a whole. Show me favour. Look thou upon me. Not because of thou art a covenant God who would never forsake thy people. Thou would not forget them. Oh, show me thy favour and thy mercy. Moving on then, thirdly, the look. Look thou upon me. We consider the need, why the Lord needs to look and show mercy. We consider the humble plea. But let's consider now, just very briefly, the look itself. Now, as already mentioned, the look here speaks of God's favour. In Isaiah 66, verse 2, we read, For all those things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. And there is reference of the look of the Lord towards his humble people. And as we've seen tonight, it's the look of grace, isn't it? Remember Noah. Genesis 6 verse 8, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The poor and the contrite find grace in the eyes of the Lord. We pray that the Lord would look. We by faith look to him with the word of God before us. And we find grace in his eyes. Remember what Lot said to the Lord in Genesis 19, verse 19. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. You see, it's all there, isn't it? Lot found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and there the hand of mercy was stretched out. So when we think of the look here, it's the look of God's favour. Show favour to me. Look on and show favour. In a day when our difficulties and our enemies surround us, what is our prayer? It's found in Psalm 4 verse 6. There be many that say, Who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Be favourable. When we think of the light of God's countenance, it's the favour of God. When we think of the hiding of God's countenance, or the hiding of his face, it's his wrath, fatherly wrath, at times. Oh Lord, look on in mercy, in favour rather. Lift up the light of thy countenance. Look on me, look on us. A little earlier I came down towards the vestry and I just noticed the sun was just coming rather through behind the clouds. And just saw the light, just a glimpse, oh just a glimpse of the light of God's countenance, the smile of his face, just a glimpse, an acknowledgement of his grace, a token of his grace will be a blessing and help to us as we walk on in the valley. Listen to the Puritan Thomas Manton. One short glimpse of God's favour, a look of kindness, would be a great matter to him, that is the psalmist, in this vale of tears, commenting on this verse before us. The look of God speaks here of the favour of God. He knows everything. He looks on, he knows all. He looks on with displeasure. But oh, we see here the look of favour. And that's a great comfort to our soul, isn't it? I used to remember my mother at times used to look on and she was a little upset with me. And I knew it even before she said, just by the look of her face. But there were other times when there was the smile. And young people, children, what did I prefer? The cross look or the smile? Well, you know the answer. It wasn't the cross look, was it? What's a great blessing to us? It's the smile of God. Yes, at times we can feel his frown. And that convicts us. And in turn, that can be a benefit. But all the great blessings, the smile of God. Look thou on me. Be favourable. Our plea here, our humble plea, first of all, is for grace or the favour of God. Oh, that we would know more grace and that we would then know more of his mercy. And that brings us to our final point. Fourthly, the hand, the need, the humble plea, the look and the hand. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me. We have the eye of favour. And then the hand of mercy. He looks on and then he stretches out his hand of mercy. You remember the Good Samaritan again? He came to the place and he saw that man. Recorded for us in Luke 10. And then what did he do? Well, he stretched forth his hand and got certain things out of the back to help him. There was the look of favour and then came the hand of mercy. And that's our plea. Lord, look in favour upon us. And then stretch forth thy hand of mercy. Psalm 80 verse 19. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine and we shall be saved. The Lord's favour. And then in his mercy there comes help and deliverance. Thomas Manton again. If God look upon us, he will help us. If God look upon us, he will help us. The psalmist said in Psalm 33 verse 18, Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. The Lord's looking on in a favorable way on his people who are hoping in mercy. And the Lord stretches out his hand in mercy. First of all, there's pardoning mercy. Remember we considered earlier, there was the need for the look of the Lord. Because of our sin, we fell the Lord. Lord, look favourably, stretch out thy hand of mercy and forgive my sin. There's delivering mercy. There's upholding mercy, supporting mercy, directing mercy to lead us home. He stretched out his hand of mercy. He stretches out his hand. And he opens it. And we see there an abundance of mercy. And it's what we need. Oh, what a merciful hand he has. What a gracious eye. And a merciful hand. Oh, think of his mercy. It's all powerful. And it's all sufficient. The psalmist said in Psalm 94 verse 18. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord. Held me up. He supports us graciously and also in a merciful way. When you feel you're slipping, there's the hand of mercy. You may be on a walk with your spouse or a friend or some other loved one and it's winter time. The snow has fallen and it's icy. And you slip and somebody takes your hand and supports you. Oh, the Lord takes our hand. We needed his hand. It's a merciful hand. He holds us up. Oh, what pity he shows. Psalm 103. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He pities. He takes pity. He looks on us in his favour and he helps you. And is this not a token of his love towards us? And do not we in response desire to love him more? We do love him, but oh, to love him more. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. He thinks of the past of those that love the Lord. He's loving the Lord now. Oh Lord, look on me in thy favour. Show mercy. I love thee, Lord. He's so kind, isn't he? He's so compassionate. Do not we desire to love him the more this night? like the psalmist. When you read this verse, just see in light of the end part, the psalmist had love to the Lord. He loved the Lord. And are we not thankful that we love the Lord? And therefore we can come with confidence, pleading, making our plea to the Lord that he would look on us in favour. And he would stretch out his hand of mercy. Take hold of my hand, Lord. Show me favour and help me on in the journey I face. May the Lord help us for his name's sake. Amen. We turn to our second praise, Psalm 57, verses 1 to 5, and the tune is Martyrdom. Psalm 57, verses 1 to 5, and the tune is Martyrdom. Be merciful to me, O God, thy mercy unto me, do thou extend, because my soul doth put her trust in thee. Psalm 57, verses 1 through to verse 5, and the tune is Martyrdom. Thank you.